couple of quick announcements before I begin my homily. In the bulletin, you will find that finally we are ready to roll out the plans for the columbarium, and you'll find the actual sort of mock-up picture that's been done. It'll be over here next to the shrine of Our Lady, and you can see what it will look like. So right after Mass, and also at Masses next weekend in St. Michael Hall, you can go to find out more information. If we get enough people who will buy in the beginning, then we'll be able to actually construct it. If we do not get enough people, then we'll have to think of something else. We do have a cemetery, it's Calvary, but certainly I hope you will give thought to purchasing a niche if you are planning to be cremated. Secondly, as you may be aware, that yesterday afternoon, Bishop Guglielmone released a letter along with a list of the credibly accused priests of the Diocese of Charleston going back the last 75 years. If you have not seen the information, you can access it on our diocesan website at sccatholic.org. So it's like South Carolina, so sccatholic.org. The diocese, by the way, of course, encourages any victim of abuse by church personnel to first report abuse to local law enforcement and then to contact the Diocesan Victim Assistance Coordinator. Her contact information is also found on the diocesan website. Bishop Guglielmone asks that everyone continue to pray, especially for all the victims of sexual abuse and their families. They may find peace and healing. Of course, as noted in the bulletin, our parish here at St. Mary's will be doing its part for that by having a Mass and Holy Hour for healing for all victims of abuse tomorrow, Monday, April 1st, beginning at 5:30 in Old St. Mary's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Although it may have felt like you were standing a long time for the gospel, it is one of the most magnificent readings and most well-known stories that we have, the story of the prodigal son. It's even phrases like that have made their way into society, into even common speech. It's been called the best short story ever told. And if our ears are open, we can't help but be moved, deeply moved. Now, the younger boy in the story, as youth often does, was imagining all of the amazing cities way off in the Far East that he could be a part of. After all, he was tired of the same kind of work, working in the same fields, tending the same flocks, the same daily duties. He was tired of taking orders from his father, no matter how kind his father might have actually been. His youth was passing away. He had to go live it up. He was missing out. Had to have that fling before it was too late. And so he does it. Off he goes. His father says, fine. But a country boy with a lot of money doesn't have a hard time finding friends who will help him spend the money. And there he goes, living it up, and it all comes crashing down. There's no more money, and with that went the friends. All he has left are pigs, and they're not even his pigs. He's a young man, alone, hungry, broke, and far from home, and is the picture of every sinner. We may sin with others, but we pay the price alone. You don't have many visitors to a pigsty, so he had a lot of time to think. And I love how it said that he came to his senses. That's exactly what happens in conversion, that metanoia that it's called, that we make that 180-degree turn. He came to his senses. But then comes that journey back home. But as he turns the last bend in the road, there is an amazing thing. The Father has been waiting for him all of this time, searching, scouring the horizon, waiting for him to come. That's how he saw him from a long way off, because he had been waiting, hoping that he would come back home. And even then, the father doesn't wait for him to come back all the way so that he can explain himself for being away. The father himself runs out, runs down the road, embraces his son, kisses him, and then orders his full restoration as his son. That's what the ring and the robe are all about. He is now back exactly like he was. The real beauty of this is that this is your story. This is my story. Our story of sin and being sorry for our sin and that possibility of coming home completely and fully if we're contrite. The word contrite literally means with tears. That we're actually sorry. There's actually, of course, another actor in this story. So just as the party is getting its groove on, here comes the elder son returning from his long, hard day in the fields. I'm sure he let everybody know about all of his long, hard days in the fields, and he is angry. And notice here, though, even there, the father goes out the house again to him, because God is always willing to find us where we are. So the son demands an explanation, because, you know, it seems so unfair, doesn't it? It does seem unfair, according to our earthly standards, our normal human standards. All these years, though, he only saw working for his father as an inconvenient chore. He had never done any of it out of love. He had access to everything the father owned, but he couldn't see it because he was blind, because he didn't love. Maybe we do come to Mass. Maybe we never miss one. Maybe we try to do real good, but then resent the people that seem to come back at the 11th hour who haven't done a thing, and they seem to be going to the same place. Why is that fair? We act just like we did with our siblings when we were younger, and all of the resentments. How many times have we been blinded by jealousy and envy and unforgiveness and anger? You know, ultimately, the parable is not about the sons, which we can identify with. It's about the father. He was the one who rushed out to welcome the prodigal son home unconditionally. He was the one who humbled himself when he didn't need to, coming out to gently reason with the angry older son. He is the portrait of God who always takes the first step to bring us back into his friendship, no matter how far we may have strayed. God never gives up on us. So, we can never give up on someone else. If we're going to be the ambassadors for Christ, we need to act like him, not holding all those things into ourselves, our rights, the way it should be according to my way. No. We are ambassadors for Christ, not for ourselves. And if we take on that role to be that ambassador for Christ, we must speak for him. We must live like him. And when we fall away, we come back and try it all over again. We can never give up on ourselves or anyone else. It's the same message he sends to us with the most blessed sacrament. Jesus is always here in the tabernacle, in our chapels, waiting for us, eager to spend time with us, no matter how confused and wounded we might be. It's the same message of the sacrament of confession. God's door is always open, and we can always come to him, ask forgiveness. Doesn't matter how long it's been, we can get renewed strength and sort of a power wash of mercy, right? And there's nothing that you've done that he won't forgive. Nothing. I think we all understand this, of course, with our heads, but do we understand it with our hearts, right here? So here are two gauges, two measurements that we can use to evaluate how deeply this has penetrated into our hearts. First of all, discouragement. Discouragement never comes from the Holy Spirit. Discouragement is a feeling that we get when we become blinded by our failures and our limitations. Our failures and limitations, which, by the way, we all have, can obscure our vision of the bigger picture, that God is with us, even in our biggest failures, and we can be redeemed. Secondly, another measure is forgiveness. God is quick to forgive us. We just have to be sorry. And if we have experienced that mercy, and if we value it, then we will be quick to forgive others. If we're not quick to forgive, it could be a sign that we haven't let the truth of God's mercy make its way from our heads into our hearts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In this Mass, God leaves his home to come out to you. He is coming out to us, just like the father and the two sons in the parable. God loves us not because of what we are, but because of who he is. And wherever you are today, come home to the loving embrace of your Heavenly Father through this Holy Mass, and take that same mercy out of here, outside of these walls, and let Jesus use you, like the Father, to bring someone you know back, to bring them home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.